Welcome back to the Neuroscience Meets SEL podcast. This is Andrea Samadi. This interview will be broadcast on YouTube as well as the regular podcast channel. So be sure to look for the YouTube link in the show notes if you'd like to view the video. In today's episode, we have Helen Matheny. She's a Canadian-British international educational consultant. She's the host of the Mindfulness and Education Peace Summit, a doctoral researcher, author, and educator. Helen is the creator of the MindBee preschool curriculum used in schools across Asia. She's the co-author of the book, Developing Children's Emotional Intelligence, and the creator of the course, Thriving Kids, A Path to Compassion, Caring, and Confident Children. Helen has lived in 13 countries, giving her vast experience in the field, has worked on curriculum development, storyboarding, writing teacher training programs, leadership training, school inspection, school development, professional development, and children's television consulting. Helen and I both have similar backgrounds. We grew up in Ontario, Canada, but of course we met in an online group for mindfulness and meditation. Helen, it's an honor to speak with you today and so much fun to see you being interviewed after watching countless of your videos and taking notes. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Andrea. Yeah, it's so funny to be on the other side of the table. I've been used to interviewing. But thank you so much for inviting me. And as you mentioned, we have so many similarities in our work and our background, so it's always a pleasure connecting with you.
Absolutely, Helen. Thank you. So let's dive right into the questions. So I know that I've been blessed to be interviewed by you for your Mindful Peace Summits, where you interview leaders across the world in the area of social emotional learning and neuroscience. And you've had powerful guests like Dr. Daniel Siegel, the author of Brainstorm, The Power and Purpose of the Teenage Brain. But why did you create the Mindful Peace Summits? And what have you learned from the interviews that you've done in your summits?
Yeah. So, when it first started, I was looking at a way that I could connect people in the field with different resources and just find a way to kind of share ideas. And it was particularly at the beginning with preschool children and preschool teachers and parents. So one day I just thought, you know what, why don't I do a summit? So I didn't know how to run a summit or anything. So I I just emailed Dan Siegel. That's what I did. That was the thing I did before anything. I just sent out this random email and said, like, would you consider, a little bit about me? This is what I want to do. And then he wrote back and said, sure. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I need to organize this summit. And that's how it all started. And it was such a positive experience because, you know, people give their time and their ideas, and it was just a really amazing thing to see all these people coming together. And I think because I have lived in so many places, I have a lot of contacts in all areas of the world, and so it was quite interesting to kind of put together what's happening in different places and share that with people. And then I just got such a great response, and I think we had about 4,500 people on that summit, and it was, you know, I was getting emails, and I thought, this was fun. I loved talking to all these people and hearing what they're doing and then sharing ideas. So then I just kept doing it. So we did a general kind of mindfulness one, and then the Mindful Kids Peace Summit, which was for teenagers, which was the one that you were on. And we've done the second preschool one. We have the third preschool one coming up. So yeah, it's been really, really beneficial. We have a few other ones. Maybe I'll tell you about them later that are coming up. I was just going to say what I've learned is, so much. I learn so much in every interview, really. But one of the things I think is that there's so much hope out there and such a there's such a big group of people that are trying to create this movement and to change what's happening in our schools and with families at home. And I think that for me has been the most powerful thing, because sometimes when we look at it from the outside and we read the news and we hear about, you know, things that aren't so good happening in schools and things that can get quite disheartening. But when you hear all these people and people are, you know, doing their own things and joining and collaborating, but people are trying to move things forward. And I think another thing, you know, that's come really strongly to me is the research is coming out that really validates that this is such an important thing for us to put in school. And we're at a time in society where there's so much stress, anxiety, mental health issues with our students, even starting at 3, you know, very young students. And I know the UK has called it a mental health crisis in the teenage years, that, you know, something has to change. We can't just continue. And it's really wonderful to see that so many people are trying to make that change and working together. And it's a really positive group of people. And it's just growing and growing, I think. So that's been pretty amazing.
It's exciting to have watched you the past couple of years, and I'm learning so much from you with my daughters as well. Little strategies to implement, because we're not taught this in the schools. You know, we've got, you're running out the door and you've got a few minutes to get them off to school, and then you've got a breakdown and you're like, what strategy can I use while I'm driving? And then we start breathing, teach them how to breathe in, breathe out, and it works. And I've solved a big problem without a big meltdown. So it's definitely impacting us over here. The research is coming along, and it's exciting to see the impact of schools here that are starting to use mindfulness and meditation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's it's growing, and I think it'll, you know, as people become more and more confident that this is something really important, they will start to adapt and find ways to bring it into school. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, it was powerful watching 14-year-old Adam Avin hosting your last Mindful Peace Summit in February, and especially when he had the interest from Maroon 5 on social media and everything started blowing up. And I think student voice is really trending in the country, and Adam is spearheading his way. How did you see Adam impacting your summit, and what did you notice about him as a person through his participation?
Well, Adam for me is a really inspirational young man. I think he's going to keep on doing great things, but he was really just a pleasure to work with, and he had approached me and said that he had seen the other summits and would he be able to do a summit together with me. So he was involved in everything, right through, you know, some parts of it are a bit tedious and hard, and then there's the fun, exciting parts of the actual interviews, but he was really involved in all of it and shared lots of ideas of how he wanted to do things, was really great at connecting with speakers and things, and I think he did a fabulous job, and a fabulous job at promoting it as well, like with, as you said, like Maroon 5 and things. So, but he's seems quite mature for his age, and he has a lot of perspective, and he's done so much. I mean, he's only 14 and he's already got the Swoosh Shanti curriculum going, and is working with children in hospitals. And so, it's always inspiring when you see a young person that's taking that action and making a difference. And I think he inspires other teens as well, you know, to take part and to help. But really it inspires adults, because so many adults comment to me and say, wow, where did this kid come from, you know? And and he's done a TED talk as well, so he's just, you know, constantly doing things and trying to bring the movement forward. I guess he's very, very passionate about it.
Well, it's exciting to showcase him and give other people some motivation as well. Well, I know that we have similar visions for where we see education going, and we both come from such similar backgrounds. But where do you see SEL is right now? Especially, do you see the differences in different locations, where it is in Canada opposed to where you are internationally?
Yeah, definitely. I think we see a lot of similarities and a lot of differences. So I think what I've personally seen in Canada and the States is there's like pockets of good practice and good things happening, but and then there's a lot of areas where people aren't even aware that this is something that might be beneficial for students. So there hasn't been really a government level push to bring this into the education system. It's more individual teachers who find an interest, or maybe a school principal who decides they would like to kind of bring these skills into their schools. So I think organizations like CASEL and Mindful Schools and things like that are trying to make headway into the education system. I just spoke to a lady in Toronto who said the Ministry of Ontario is putting some mindfulness into the secondary curriculum now. Yeah. and the primary, I think. So there's pockets kind of happening, but not across the board. I think in the UK we see quite a big research project going on where they're going to have mindfulness in 372 schools, and they're really doing an in-depth analysis to see, is this cost effective, how, you know, what are the real effects for different age groups, and that's going to be very interesting. But they have done quite a lot because they're now called the Mindful Nation, and they practice mindfulness in Parliament and things. So they're very interested in how this can help different sectors of societies. Also in the hospital sector, they're using it quite a lot. So, and then there's, you know, Denmark is bringing like empathy classes into all of their schools, and you just see pockets of things. But I think, you know, we're kind of at the start of bringing this into schools, and a lot of people are waiting for more kind of hard evidence from a research perspective. There is a lot of research, it's growing massively, but it's not always very cohesive, or there's not a lot comparing programs or looking at specific programs and things like that. And there's a lot more with the older children than the younger ones. So I think as we kind of get more robust research showing that this can make a difference, we will have more chance to influence governments and
policies,
boards and policy makers. But in the meantime, you know, people are doing a great thing. And I think, you know, what I've seen when I go into schools is a teacher that's very interested and starts to, you know, is practicing themselves, and then they start to bring a few ideas in, and then another teacher says, hey, what are you doing? Why is your class doing this? And then so they learn from each other, and I think that's a great organic way to bring things into schools, is with kind of a change leader that really wants to be at the forefront of it and kind of lead other teachers into it. So yeah, so it's exciting times, I think. And I think, you know, as time goes on, I think it's going to happen quite quickly that more and more international groups of people get together, and, you know, we all don't want to reinvent the wheel and think about what's the best way forward and what can we do to help this movement get into schools.
Definitely, definitely. It's interesting to watch the research emerge as well, such a new discipline, and the schools starting, like you say, with individuals, and the results will show. So Helen, what's your 3 to 5 year plan? Where I know you're always working, you've got more summits coming up, but what's your vision for this? Where do you see yourself in the next few
years? Yeah, so my big vision is, to help bring mindfulness into school and social emotional learning, all together into schools across the world. I have my Mind B curriculum, which is a preschool curriculum, and we have about teachers in about 60 countries trained in that now, and then it's used quite widely in Hong Kong and Taiwan and places. So I would like to kind of expand that and do more training with the teachers and share that with other people, and then summits. I have a few summits coming up, so I'm doing a really interesting one in October together with Chris Willard from Harvard. So we've partnered and we're doing a global mindfulness and education summit, and we're going to interview one person from 40 different countries about what's happening in their country and what practices are coming out, or what issues, what challenges and positive things are happening within the education system. So we're looking forward to that. We're starting interviewing and things, so that's quite exciting. And we'll have Daniel Goleman and Dan Siegel also on that summit. And then I have the preschool one that I do every January coming up. And we also have one that I'm doing with Hazel Farr in March next year, which is an environmental summit bringing in mindfulness and the environment and nature. Wow. Which is very interesting. And we're hoping to do a live event following that, like a Camino walk or some kind of natural event in Portugal. So I think that's quite exciting. But I always have a million ideas of different things. I'm also making a story. I'm getting different authors of children's mindfulness and social emotional books to read their stories to children. And I'm going to compile it all into a something that teachers can use, and they can so have the author reading the story to the children, and then the children will be able to write questions and ask, send letters or pictures to the authors afterwards, but all around the kind of mindfulness arena. So those are a few of the things we've got.
I know you're always forward thinking, so it's fun to interview you and hear your ideas. And just to kind of wrap it all up, if an educator sees this and wants to have a look at and learn more about you, I'll put all the links for your Mindful Peace Summits. But are there any final words that you think, or advice that you want for someone that might be wanting to start a mindfulness program, or, where do they begin? There are so many strategies in your summits. Where should they begin? And should I go?
I always believe it all starts with the teacher themselves or the principal, and so kind of developing that your own practice, and even if it's just something small, but just taking those small steps and noticing what's happening to you, and then moving forward to kind of share that. But reading books, taking a course is great, like an MBSR course or an online course. And then there's so many kind of online meditations and things that you can listen to. But joining groups, like our group that we have, the MindBee group, and we have lots of discussions in there about what's happening in the world of education. And and I think just take it slow. It doesn't have to be it. I think what people want to do is make this huge thing and right. make it very complicated, because that's what I always do. So, and then I have to say, no, Helen, just start small and simple and take it one step at a time. So start discussions in your school, see who else is interested in this, see if there are people that have a practice already in your school, and then kind of grow it organically from there, one step at a time. But the benefits, I haven't heard anyone say anything except for that they've had benefits with this with all ages, you know, from three, we see a lot of benefits with the young children, right through to the teens and then the teachers themselves. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Thank you so much, Helen, for taking your time today.
Thanks, Andrea.
If you're enjoying the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, please don't forget to subscribe so you'll stay up to date with our new episode. While you're there, please feel free to give us a review or a 5-star rating as it helps others find us. For more information on our programs, books and tools for schools and the workplace, visit us at www.achieveit360.com.